Again, our focus this year begins with life is, ... the ellipsis, the punctuation mark. Well, we call it ... meaning fill in the blank. What is life is to you? Life is wonderful. Life is difficult. Life is this. Life is that. Sometimes life isn't funny. Sometimes life is hilarious. People in it, in our life. But as you're focusing this morning, I want you to understand that life is lived in a dirty world. Now, Brother Larry, it's not right for you to say that the world is dirty. Well, it is when God says the world is dirty, and I'm the one that's proclaiming, thus saith the Lord thy God. We're in a dirty world. Brokenness everywhere. Folks, there's hurt and pain and brokenness and evil going on everywhere in this world. You're not going to find the perfect place in which to live where you think that you're getting away from imperfectionism. This world is imperfect, and this world is dirty. And a lot of the folks that are living in this world go along with the dirty part of the world. And God wants to give us a warning and give us acknowledgement and give us strength to be able to live in this world. After all, I did not ask to be born. I had nothing to do with it. I am born into a world that I know nothing about. And they tell me that I'm supposed to, you know, eventually know about it. Well, I'm getting old and I haven't learned about it yet. I do know that people can hurt. Situations can hurt. Life can hurt. Sickness, even joy. Have you ever been in a situation yourself or watched situations to where folks are either on vacation or anyway, everything seems to be going great. Family's around. Everybody is happy. And, you know, you're having a blast with one another. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, right there at that period of time, someone collapses. They die. Have you noticed how quickly everything changes? Well, you see, that's life. That's reality. And the Lord says, I want you to know that I am the one that is going to find you in that change. When you think the bottom of your world has fallen out, I want you to know, says God, that I am the one that placed you in that world. I just want you to recognize the situations that you can run into in it. And I want you to be able to walk through life with as much peace as I can give you. Now, God wants to give me the perfect peace. There's no problem with God giving me that perfect peace or to you. The problem is in us accepting it. Do you know why we have such a hard time accepting it? Because way too often we fall in love with a dirty world. We sort of enjoy the dirty world. We enjoy just not having to be controversial about something. I hate controversy, and my whole career has been nothing but filled with controversy. You can't be in the prison system and jail systems and the church ministry without there being controversy. And that means where there are people gathered together, there's going to be controversy. Now, let's accept it as it's going to be there. But let us also accept our responsibility as Christians to do our part to bring peace and harmony in the middle of it. No, it's not easy. You're not going to control the other person. That's not what God tells us to do. God tells us to look to self and take care of controlling you. And you control your mind and you control your heart by turning to the Lord. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to look at others through the eyes of Christ. And in looking at others through the eyes of Christ, you must acknowledge that the world is dirty. You will never be able to deal with the problems of this life if you don't recognize it as being dirty. Now listen to 1 John 2, verses 15 through 18. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You want to cover up the love of the Father, then you fall in love with the world. You see, the love of God will not force himself in your life. When I said yes to Jesus, it was my free will, my free choice to accept him or reject him. Therefore, my God is not going to force himself in my life. But he says, I give you two choices. Love the world, love me. And then what you do is you look, well, if I love the world, this is what the world is going to hand me. But loving God, here's his word. He tells me what he is offering me. Well, folks, I choose God. I choose God. But people are going to mock you. Well, that's nothing unusual. People mock people normally because they don't understand. They will mock Christianity because they do not understand Christianity. It does not affect me when people mock me for being Christian. It does not affect me when people mock me for proclaiming God's truth. That doesn't change God's truth, God's word, or God's love for me. Even the individual that is doing the mocking, I have a word for them. God loves you. God cares about you. Do you want to find peace in your heart, or you're just looking for a good time in the world? Well, the good time in the world, payday someday. And I'm not talking about hell. I'm talking about the problems that we get ourselves in life. The problems that are out there that the Lord says, I will take care of them for you, but we decide they're more fun to play with. And then so we go into the world and we play. That's the love for the world. The love of the Father is not in the one who loves the world. For everything in the world, here it is, everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Recognize the world is dirty. Recognize that in that world of dirt, there is a God of love. There is a God of peace. There's a God that will bring you joy. There's a God that will lift you up. There's a God that will hold you close. Recognize that. And when you recognize the love of God in a dirty world, you will succeed. Don't hold on to the world. Let me give you this. And remember it. When it comes to the word of the world, believe nothing that you hear and only half of what you see. Have you ever witnessed such deception that is going around? Gosh, folks, your pastor loves you. I want you taken care of. I don't know whether to tell you wear one mask, two masks, three masks, no mask, or to go stick your head down in a hole somewhere and wait till everything clears up. Because we have been told so much that it has gotten to the point that we do not believe or trust our own government, nor do we believe or trust anything hardly that anybody says to us. Now, isn't that sad? Isn't it sad when we get to a point in the United States of America that we just don't know what to do? Well, let me give you an out on that. Trust God. Your pastor has told you from the beginning of this, please use common sense. Not just with COVID, but with everything else that's going on in your life. Use common sense. And pray. Because common sense ain't common, Brother Randy. And sometimes it's very difficult, even for those who want to use common sense, to understand, I don't know what it is. Well, do the same thing in worship. Use common sense. When these people say, oh, I heard you say that word, you know, you're going to go to hell for that. No, you're not. The only thing that will send an individual to hell, here's your doctrine. Only thing that can send anybody to hell is unbelief. You got me? Not believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Or what we would call not accepting Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. But none of that doesn't mean all the rest of that stuff is good to do. It's not. Don't do it. It doesn't do you any good. But that's what a dirty world teaches. And if you hang in a dirty world, you're going to end up having a dirty world mind. I'm not telling you to get out of the world. I'm not telling you to hide from the world. I'm telling you not to be consumed by the world. Don't let it saturate you to the point to where it controls you. I want you to have hope. I want you to have peace. I want you to have health. And to experience love, true love. That true love is only given through Jesus Christ. Therefore, the survival guideline is recognize what's dirty and what's clean. Recognize it. The next one, don't conform to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able, listen to me, to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Look at the world and look at God's word. Look at the world and look at true love. Look at the world and all of the anger and all of the violence, all of the hatred, and look at Christ and see peace. And then you make your choice. I don't care what age you are. I beg you, don't choose poorly. Make the choice. Am I going to choose the ways of the world, or am I going to choose the love of God? There's a big difference there, folks. Don't conform to the world. That conforming means you become a form like everything else around you. They talk about Christianity. Christians are just a bunch of puppets. Now, you ever been in a Baptist church? There's not two of us that even think alike. Trust me, folks, that's not what it's about. It's about the center focus that we have in our life, and his name is Jesus. And that center focus on Jesus Christ, I want to have peace in here. I'm getting ready to go on and be with the Lord. I want to have that kind of relationship inside of me, and I got it, and I'm excited about having it. See, that relationship is never going to be broken. You and I are going to be separated for a short time. But that relationship that I have with Christ, Brother Randy, excuse me, getting out of the proper grammar, but it ain't going anywhere. No, I got a relationship with Jesus. Nobody can take that away from me. Not in this world, not around this world, not out of this world, not under this world, or any other place. You can't take Christ's love out of my heart. Oh, I get excited. I get excited because the fact is, if I refuse to conform to the world, that makes Jesus happy. I like making Jesus happy. I don't care whether you all are happy or not, but I like making Jesus happy. You know what I mean on that, don't you? Exactly. Don't you see? My Savior loved me so much that he went to that cross just for me, just for you, individually. If I conform to the world, then I push him away. For the world says he didn't even exist. The world mocks Christ to this day. Jesus wants me to be a nonconformist. I've been doing a pretty good job in that my whole ministry. A nonconformist. I know most of you all. You're nonconformist. You have that personality of independence. Guess who gave it to you? Jesus did. And he said, now I want you to use that little fire that you have burning in your heart for me. I want you to use that to ignite the world with the truth and the love that I've given you. What I have given you, I expect you to give away. Wake up, church. Wake up, America. Because conforming to the ways of the world is destruction of your family and a way of life that everyone's trying to get to America so they can experience it. The way of life of America. It's called freedom. Freedom to worship right now. We can come to church and not worry so much about them coming in, locking your pastor up for what I preach or how I preach. But the day's coming. If we don't stand up and be prepared to speak out, the day will be coming when a padlock will be on the doors of the churches in the United States of America. What a sad day that's going to be. What sorrow there will be when that happens. The scripture speaks of it. It'll be a day when people will cry out. They want to hear a word from God. They want to hear the preaching. They're wanting to hear what God has to say. And the word of God says, but they will not hear, for there will be no preachers. Their mouth will be shut on the day that God says, enough is enough. Folks, don't wait for that. And don't mock it. For I tell you, look around. Listen to this day. You know, the greatest problem that we're having in churches, people coming back to it. But they've been leaving before COVID. Why? Because the enticements of the world are pulling people away from the pews. They're pulling people away from the fellowship. Do you know what makes this difference? The fellowship. Where we can laugh, eat together, find joyous times, cry with one another over a brokenness within our own family. That's what fellowship is about. That's what church is about. And when we separate and we don't unite together, there is no fellowship. We need each other. There's not a person in here today that's not hurting in some way. And we need each other to deal with that. As I told you, next Sunday I'm going to talk about loneliness. Lonely people don't have anybody. But it goes deeper than that. We're in this dirty world. Don't conform to it. And you have a hope against it consuming you. Number three, read your word of God. We call it the Holy Bible. Read the Holy Bible. And when you read the Holy Bible, you will see this is the word of God. This is the breath of God. This is the truth of God. This is the love of God. Everything that you need is right here in this word. God's word. God's book. So you need to obey God. Well, Apostle Peter and the other disciples, you know what they were daring to do? The religious leaders of the day had ordered them, whatever you do not preach in the name of this Jesus of Nazareth. You don't use his name when you're preaching. And they were upset. Peter, you and those other, well, they had words for the Christians. You and those other crazy people, whatever you do, do not blame us for his death. Don't tell them that we put him on a cross, an innocent man. And then here you come and you say that this man that you killed on that cross, he had been resurrected by the hand of Almighty God. And that we are guilty? Don't say that, they told him. Acts 5, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles, okay, that means, see, Peter was the spokesman for the other 11, for the whole 12. Peter was the spokesman. So Peter and all the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You see, the Pharisees were using that as part of their legalism. You listen to God and God has spoken through us, and whatever we tell you to do, you need to do. They use that against the people. You know, we are God's spokesman. Therefore, what we say is the law. So Peter is saying to them, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, they couldn't handle it. Jesus threw it back on them every time. Every time they'd try to trap him and all of this, he'd throw their own words back at them. So they got all upset at this. Challenged by this illiterate? Why, he didn't even go to our college. I don't know how he would know anything. But he sure is awful smart not to have had that formal education. Wonder what the deal is with this man. And they sought to kill them. But there was a religious leader of the time. His name was Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was well thought of by all the ones of the Sanhedrin, of the court and all. They thought highly of him. So Gamaliel says, whoa, wait just a minute. Send them outside for a second. They send them outside, and this is what he says to them. You know, there was in the past this guy and that guy, and they caused an uprising, and as soon as they were dead, as soon as something happened to them, then that uprising fell down. But these men, be careful about what you're doing. Because you may find yourself fighting directly against God. If so, you will lose That was wisdom, wasn't it? That was a lot of wisdom there. And Gamaliel really believed that they were who they claimed to be, servants of God. So they said, okay, bring them back in. Let's just beat them and send them out. So once again, they got the beating. But you see, they stood for the word of God. The time will be coming, my friends, when you will be given a choice of you stand for the word of God, but you'll suffer the punishment for doing so, or you stand with us and there is no punishment. And you'll have to make the decision. Right now, it's already around. It's according to the group that you're hanging out with. Many of them want to go and do their own thing. Many of them want to go and do the things that are ungodly. You've got a choice. You have a choice. Are you going to choose to go to the ways of the world? Or are you going to choose the ways of God? Well, that means it's going to hurt. You may lose a friendship. I got news for you right now. There's some that need to lose some friendships, and they need to lose them quickly, because those friendships are not befriending you. Those are friendships with the world trying to pull you into it. And you know, it's fun. Well, it's fun. I'm not going to tell you it's not until payday comes. Payday someday. You play with it, payday's coming. And how horrible it may be. The next, I want you to remain faithful. That's what I was talking about. Listen, even when you are accused of being crazy, here's a scripture that a lot of folks have not read or paid any attention to, but I want you to hear it. Jesus was preaching. Well, he had had them in this hut-type building, and he was on fire because, you know, he is the Son of God. And Jesus is preaching up a storm, and people were gathering everywhere. That was the time when the four men comes up with a good friend. They wanted him healed. They goes up to the top of the hut, start digging a hole right through the top to lower him down in. Well, here's a part of the story that you may not remember. His mother, Mary, and brothers, the scripture says, came up and said, "Where is Jesus?" And they said, "He's in there preaching." Now, listen to the scripture as I read it to you. Mark 3, verses 20 and 21. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. They loved eating. That's the reason I always thought them had to be Baptist. They love eating every time they united together. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." His own family thought Jesus had lost his mind. They were going there to save him from himself. You ever hear that one? "I'm going to save you from yourself. I want you to do what I tell you to do." "Oh, thank you. I think I'll just stick with me." Think of that. "Jesus, we love you. We love you so much, you got to quit preaching and telling people that you are the Son of God." But Jesus is the Son of God. He's telling the truth. He's preaching the word. He's standing for what really matters. Are we? Are we standing for what matters? Or are we not? Are we standing for disruption? Are we going to stand for what is right? We must stand for what is right. Y'all come back and see us, you hear? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life, with joy? God said, "I want you to pay attention. Jesus isn't out of his mind. He's the only one that truly had a mind." Number 5, Be true to the Word, not the world. Be true to the Word, not the world. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Pay attention to that. Let your heart be at peace. And you need to ask yourself, is it at peace? You're in a dirty world. These are survival guidelines for you to be able to focus on. And when you focus on the truth of God, you will find the peace of God. When you find the peace of God, you will witness the love of God. When you witness the love of God, you'll have enough godly sense to love one another. You want peace and harmony? I go back to it every Sunday. The key to supplying the truth of life and God's commands is keyed up into one word, love. Jesus says, I want you to love as I have loved you. I want you to love. Love. Just love. And in that word, love, wraps up all the truth about life that you will ever need. That's the word of God, and it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, asking, dear Lord God, that it'll be through your truth, through your power, through your strength that each of us will be able to get through this day. Help us now, Father, for I need your guidance. We need what you have to give us, Father, in order for us to give to others. Let your will be our will, Father. Touch our life that we might truly touch others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.